Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Heck of a way to start. A little shaky shake.
Sorry. Welcome to Wrestling
Made Me Cry, everybody. Happy Halloween, almost. It's like 25 days till Halloween, but basically it's spooky season.
It's spooky season in my heart.
We had to break out the costumes for you all. I don't know if you could tell, but I am Brood Christian. It's an iconic costume.
I don't know. Can anybody tell me who I am? Do you think you know me?
Listen. Now that song is going to be stuck in my head all day. Oh, such a good entrance song.
Such a good vibe.
It's
too bad we would get like copyrighted because I play it so hard.
I hope you in the chat don't mind, but I'm taking off the sunglasses because they hurt my head because I can't see anything. So my eyes are like constantly straining to see the chat and to see you, but that's okay.
I love this color on you. Like a blonde is good on you.
It's because I have blue eyes. I feel like it vibes.
It does vibe.
This wig is very old though. For those of you who watch Tag Talk, this is the same wig I wore last Halloween. Wow. And I haven't touched it since last Halloween. And I pulled it out this morning and I was like, oh no. So I brushed it out as best as we could. It's not as wavy as it used to be. Something happened over the course of the year. I don't know. But you know what, Christian Brute? And Adam Copeland, when Christian comes back, and this is a message to Adam Copeland, by the way. When Adam Copeland comes back and Christian comes back from his patriarchy adventures, we need Gangrel. We need the Brood. We need the full shenanigans. I need it. I love vampires.
The full shenanigans?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I loved the Brood. I loved the vampire aesthetic. I loved everything about them. I just love vampires.
I mean, it is the spookiest time of year. Mm-hmm. I wish that I adhered to the Brood memo. Unfortunately, I'm just...
Listen, I feel like that's part of the fun, though. We're just celebrating wrestling through costumes. Thank you guys so much for joining us. If you want your question, your comment, whatever, right on air, make sure to send a super chat. It's a little stormy outside today in Florida.
What's going on?
Well, we had like a wave of thunderstorms, and then in 2 days we're getting a hurricane named Milton. So
Milton,
yeah.
Bitch ass name is Milton.
I don't know because so they pick the names of the hurricanes, right? And they pick the whole year in one go.
What?
So they pick 26 names and they publish them. And so you get to see the names before the hurricanes actually exist. And Milton, because for a name to get retired, the hurricane has to be a hurricane that like touches land, and then they retire the name. So you're telling me we've gone through so many M names that we're now at Milton?
Yeah.
So bad. Sorry if your name is Milton. It's not about you.
It isn't about you. But also, what person in their right mind would be named Milton?
I don't know. An old man who like sits in a leather recliner and watches the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, shot at the Cleveland Browns over here. Jeez.
If you're an NFL fan, you know. If you know, you know.
Oh my God. If you know, you know.
Now I know why I haven't worn this wig in so long. This is so funny. Ryan in the chat says, I went on a date with the Milton. It was a quick one. Tell us. I need to, obviously, within your comfort zone, of course. But what was wrong with Milton? Good morning to Daddy. Good morning to Eddie. Good morning to Harrison. I have no idea when Elimination Chamber is being announced, but no clue. But
I mean, rumor on the street is that it's not going to be in the U.S., so.
They've been doing a lot of international shows. I don't know if it'll be UK, if it'll be, like, somewhere in Europe. I don't think WWE, maybe WWE would do a show in Asia somewhere. Maybe WWE will do a show in Japan. I have no idea.
But, I have no idea.
Like, a big show in Japan, I mean. I have no idea. But, Harrison, the moment it's announced, I will share it on Twitter and you can see it. How are you guys doing? It's been a long, it feels like it's been 50 years this week.
50 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone through a lot this week.
I have. We came back from the last hurricane to work. And now I'm pretty sure we're going to miss this whole week because of this hurricane. But AEW had its 5-year anniversary.
Oh my God.
Which was so in
Pittsburgh.
It was so emotional for me because I met so many of my best friends through AEW specifically, like going to AEW shows. And so just like reflecting on those friendships and like my time in wrestling media, which I'm really only in wrestling media because I love AEW, let's be honest. And so the 5-year show, I mean, the Dynamite, the anniversary show, I was so emotional going into it. And then there was no Kenny Omega.
I do have to say, I think that there was like some sort of video that went on. And it was like throughout the history or something. They were doing that right during the thing.
They were doing like little segments of like historic moments.
Right. And I had gone to the bathroom and come back. And it came back and it was like a Kenny Omega match. I was like, wait, what did I miss? And my husband didn't let me know. And he was like, oh, they were just doing a look back. I was like, for like split second, you know?
Not a single sign of life from Kenny Omega on the show.
He did announce something for Wrestle Dynasty.
Yeah, the video with Tanahashi in the New Japan office, and they were basically, if you haven't seen it, go watch it because it was really cool. Mm-hmm. But it was basically them reminiscing on their rivalry in New Japan. Mm-hmm. And then basically it concluded with Kenny saying, I want a team with Tanahashi against the Young Bucks at Wrestle Dynasty, which is, I don't know what date it is, but it's coming up.
In January.
In January, yeah. So that, listen, if Kenny Omega is ready to wrestle in Japan in January, that, I'm not saying he is, people. I am simply extrapolating from what he has given me in his video with Tanahashi. I will lose my mind. I have missed Kenny Omega so intensely. It is kind of crazy. It's like AEW isn't the same. New Japan isn't the same.
Right.
But if Kenny Omega is back by January, then I think of all the AEW stuff that we're going to get to. Like, obviously, the Okada match. We're going to probably circle back to Hangman. The Young Bucks, obviously. Kota, I have no idea when Kota Ibushi will be back because everything we've heard so far has been about Kenny being back.
Right.
So Golden Lovers, when? I have no idea.
Take me back.
Golden Lovers versus Young Bucks. Did you have, you've seen that match? Right. Just like
so good.
So good. Like top tier unbeatable stuff. And it's crazy to me that Kenny Omega, and this was like the discourse around Kenny Omega this week, even when he's falling apart and dying, right? He's still putting out bangers. So like when are we going to get like fully healthy Kenny Omega back? Obviously he's a little bit older, but there's so many matches we have to get to. And I need Bryan Danielson to shut up and not retire. Because if he retires before Kenny Omega comes back, then we'll never get Danielson Omega 2. There's so many things going on.
Danielson, that match was so good. Before we jump in, AEW signed a deal with Time Warner, right? And a Warner Discovery. Yes. So now we're going to have it on the app. We're going to have a library on there. We could review old episodes of AEW and not have to illegally download them.
I'm so excited because not only is the library going to be on Max, but they're going to be airing AEW on Max, which is only going to be Dynamite Collision because RIP Rampage. But to me, that is like a big deal for me because it means I can stop paying for cable.
That was I was like, can we finally get rid of this?
Because if it's on Max, like Max obviously has a bunch of other stuff that I would want to watch anyway, and so that's a big deal to me, and I'm excited. And I haven't done the whole VPN thing to get into Fight to watch old AEW.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't know how to do that either. It kind of freaks me out. So I'm excited to go back and watch like old episodes of Dynamite or like early Collision and all the Rampages that I haven't watched because I gave up on Rampage. and I think it'll be super exciting. Wow. I'm still moving my pay-per-views from Bleacher Report to Triller TV.
Did you I like sign up for that, and like by the way, if you didn't know, Bleacher Report is no longer going to be supporting AEW pay-per-views. So the old pay-per-views that you have purchased will still be available on Triller, but all you have to do is, there's a link that was sent to your email, all you have to do is sign up for it, right? And then it'll catalog it.
You have to opt in, and you have until 14 days, I think, after you get the email to opt in. For me, the email that I have for my Bleacher Report, I don't have access to. So I had to send them a help request and be like, hi, can I have my pay-per-views, please? And we're still working on it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is why you need to be up to date with your emails, your two-factor authentications.
Well,
come on.
This email was one that a certain someone who shall not be named, signed up for every government mailing list because this person hates Fightful. So so that email has been lost to the void. But that doesn't matter anymore.
Because I love how that's illegal. Like, that's illegal.
Yeah. But you listen, they don't get any more of my airtime. We have a super chat from Ryan who says, heading out to see my 49ers, sending y'all love. Sending love to you, no love to Milton.
Oh my God.
I'm so excited. But also, there's been rumors, obviously nothing confirmed, of course, about AEW Shockwave, and they're shopping it around. They're like the exclusivity deal, apparently, between AEW and Warner Brothers has been lost, been voided. I don't know the legal terms of it. I'm not a lawyer, guys. But basically, that means AEW can shop this thing around, and on the short list of potential places, potential homes, is Fox.
That would make me sob.
And this has been a rumor for like quite a long time, I think, AEW to Fox, and obviously nothing has been confirmed, nothing has been like definitively stated, I should say. It's just rumors and you know, reports here and there. But I think that would be a huge boon to AEW, because even if it's FS1, which is like the Fox's little brother,
sister, yeah,
little, it's a little sister station. I think that opens AEW up to a whole new audience. And I also think AEW, in terms of marketing and PR, has kind of been slacking in a lot of ways. I think most people can agree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. And so I think that this move to Fox or to FS1 or to like whatever other stations Fox owns, I'm not really sure. I think that's a huge boon to them.
I agree. That would be really cool. And it just means that wrestling is alive and well, whether you watch WWE, AEW, TNA, MLW, not so much. New Japan is hot right now.
Yes.
I'm so excited for whenever Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr. happens, because it's going to be lit. It's going to be lit.
And this is normally the time of year that New Japan and AEW, for that matter, really heat up, because, mm-hmm. well, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, which, and now Wrestle Dynasty, and AEW has like 3 pay-per-views to the end of the year, which next yeah. week is Wrestle Dream. We got some matches confirmed between Dynamite and Collision for Wrestle Dream. I won't talk about Chris Jericho, because I can't. I just can't. But we have... Oh, you know, okay, listen. I will make a statement on Chris Jericho. I just want to say Brody King. I'm not Brody King.
You need
it. Our Briscoe is better. I have Brody King on the mind, because I was going to say Brody King answered Darby Allin's open challenge, which Shock. I thought was going to be at the pay-per-view.
It is going to be at the paper. Oh, I thought he was going to come out.
And be like, hi, I haven't.
I would have liked that better then.
But he answered the open challenge at Collision, which, whatever. You know what? You can have it, I guess. But what do you think? Listen, let's get it out of the way. What do you think about Chris Jericho and Mark Briscoe?
I do not care. As someone who watches Ring of Honor, the fact that there are two. Your top title and then your TV title.
That one, yeah.
There's also Atlantis Jr. Defending his TV title against mm-hmm. Brian Cage, and they're not on Ring of Honor television. We never
and they're
see
on the
these...
Zero Hour.
I will swear. I will lose my absolute shit, and I know that. We don't have time for me to do that today. Yeah. I just have a problem with the fact that I watch Ring of Honor every week, I report on it every week. Mm-hmm. I am invested into Ring of Honor week after week after week. And we don't see our main champion and we don't see our TV champion at all. So it just feels like a bastardization of the Ring of Honor name.
I fully agree. It's a little bit strange to me, because Mark Briscoe is part of the conglomeration, which is this like goofy feel good type of faction. And right. then you're basically feeding him to Chris Jericho and the Learning Tree, which is the exact opposite. So it seems like that story would make sense, but it is so objectively bad, and it's because of Chris Jericho. So,
right.
But I don't want to dwell on that, because I think we have more important things to talk about, but you guys know my thoughts on Chris Jericho. And if you want more thoughts on Chris Jericho, go on my Twitter, because I let loose on there about Chris Jericho.
And if you want to know my thoughts about Ring of Honor week after week after week, you can always go over to our local establishment on Thursday evenings, where myself and Kimmy Sokol have a show called Honor Ramble, where we ramble about Ring of Honor and everything that I want for it that is not happening. And it makes me cry all the time.
In a bad way.
And this is where we cry about things in a good way.
Period. just a reminder, if you want your question, your comment right on air, make sure to submit a super chat. But we need to talk Ospreay and Ricochet, because this match, I thought, was so good. So they have a match on the 5th anniversary Dynamite on Wednesday. I thought it was so good. The ending was a little weird. So it was like, the ultimate finish was an interference by Takeshita, which ended up in Takeshita beating them both down and basically asserting himself in the picture with these two. So at Wrestle Dream, it's going to be a three-way Ospreay, Ricochet, Takeshita for the International Championship.
Yeah.
I think that match is going to be top five match of the year. I think it's because...
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
I think they're going to give Takeshita an incredible showing.
Absolutely.
I think Sean reported this, Fightful Select $5. Takeshita's in line for a big push. And I think with Ricochet there and with Ospreay there, I think we're going to see Takeshita really push to the limits. Mm-hmm. And I think that match is going to be absolutely hands down phenomenal. I have no idea who comes out as the winner. Genuinely, no freaking clue. But if I had to make like a risky, bold prediction, I would say Takeshita.
You think Takeshita?
Yeah, I think he cheats to win. But I think you can run Ospreay Takeshita at Full Gear, and you can move Ricochet out of the Ospreay universe and have him go and do other things. But I think Ricochet coming to AEW, you kind of had to do the Ospreay thing because of the context of it. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Takeshita cheats to win it. And then maybe Kyle helps Takeshita cheat to win it.
Oh.
And we could do Kyle and Will Ospreay.
Kyle in a tank top.
So
good. And a cropped tank top.
He is such a talent.
He is.
Such a talent. But the only downside of this is it means Don Callis.
Yeah.
But you know what? We tolerate it for Takeshita. We do a lot of things for Takeshita. This is one of them.
We tolerate a lot.
What did you think of the Dynamite match? And then also, what do you think of this for Wrestle Dream?
So the fact that it went no contest was a no-brainer for me, right? Yeah. We knew that it wasn't going to end in a decision because, hey, the commentary kept harkening back to, oh, Ricochet's, what did they say? It was like, he's three and one died.
Around that.
I'm sorry, I don't remember things like that unless I write them down, but basically Ricochet had an up on Will Ospreay, and I was like, okay, they're like really wanting Will Ospreay to take it, but everything that they answered each other, because they know each other so well, it was just one after the other, and you knew that this match was too good to be on weekly television.
Yeah.
Like, there is a caliber list. And yes, we do get some pay-per-view level matches week after week. Hello. It's excellent.
Yeah, 100%.
But starting off with this match was really like, oh, shit. Okay, this is how we're starting our year five. This is how we're doing it. And I absolutely love it.
And I think... I anticipated that this match was, I thought that it was going to go to like a time limit draw situation.
Yeah.
Because I think obviously it was going to be the teaser for the pay-per-view match. I did not anticipate Takeshita being here, which I think is super interesting. And it adds like a nice, a new element to the relationship between Ospreay and Ricochet. I'm excited to see if there's some kind of team up between them to get rid of Takeshita in the Wrestle Dream match. The finish was a little convoluted because they restarted the match and then almost immediately ended it when they could have just done the Takeshita thing.
Did it remind you? So do you remember? I mean, I remember because it was Dynamite in Seattle, but Jeff Jarrett and Associates versus now I can't remember. Brain stopped for a second. But there was like a restart because of shenanigans, and so they restarted it, the match, right?
Yeah, I think I remember this.
Okay.
I like a good restart. If then after the restart, we get a little bit of time and like there's a clean finish and everything wraps up. And mm-hmm. if there's a good reason for the restart, you know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't like this specifically because they then started wrestling. They wrestled for like 90 seconds and then Takeshita interfered.
Yeah. I didn't like that either.
But you know what? I accept it because Takeshita. I accept it because
I just think he's such a daddy. He's such,
and he is, and he's like so weirdly talented in the way that like he's built. He's big, obviously. He's tall and he's big,
right?
So he's built like a power guy, but he can flip flop around and jump like he's Ricochet.
He's got all that talent, and there's a reason why Kenny Omega slotted him in that spot. To let you know, in Seattle, it was the Acclaimed versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. And Anthony Bowens got his foot up on the rope, but Aubrey didn't see it, counted the pin in favor of Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. And then they restarted the match because what a way to lose your AEW World Tag Team Champion. By shenanigans and rope things. But anyways, I think Takeshita being added on there, I think we've been waiting for this because we loved babyface Takeshita for so long. And I think him being a heel was so hot and then it like cooled off for a little bit. So I don't know. The person who pinned Kenny Omega, twice in a week, right?
Yeah. I'm absolutely so crazy. Stoked. I'm also so stoked, and I don't think me and you have talked about this yet. Jay White versus Hangman Page.
Jay White is back, bitch! He's back!
So, basically, he came back, beat up Hangman Page, laid him on the ground, and stood over him like, I'm back. And so I'm presuming this match is going to get added to Wrestle Dream.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I am so ready. One, because Jay White is one of my faves. I will take Jay White wrestling a duck. If it
a
means
duck?
A duck. He could wrestle. No, he could wrestle a pebble. And I would love it. I love Jay White. And so the fact that he's with Hangman, and they're both, they both have like unhinged characters. Like the Switchblade Jay White is basically a dude who can pull out a knife and kill you in 2 seconds. And then obviously Hangman burns down houses for fun and is
they match each other's freak.
Yeah, he's so disassociated from reality that this match, I need it. I need it like now.
It's as someone who was watching New Japan very actively when he was on the scene, how he rose to prominence. He didn't have the facial hair. He just was what do you got to work with? And when everyone left, he was there holding up New Japan.
Yes.
And some of those matches are cinematic classics that you should go watch. But Jay White, I'm ready to see him actually get a push and actually be I don't know, lifting some gold and non-tag division way, right? Yeah. I'm ready to see him slaughter people.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And I think there's a lot of matches for Jay White and AW that we haven't gotten to simply because it seems like it's stop and go. Obviously, for some of it, it's injuries.
Yeah.
To him or the people around him. But I think this is a sign that they're going to get into like a consistent like singles push where he's going to do all the matches that we want. Obviously, the Hangman match is not a new one, but I think there's built-in stories with Ospreay, with Kenny Omega, with Okada, like all the New Japan guys. But then there's also this whole crop of like North American talent that Jay White has never wrestled because he's been
right.
So I'm excited to see them really get into that.
Started with Hangman.
I think the Hangman match, in addition to other matches on the Wrestle Dream card, which we'll get to probably, I think it adds like the amount of excitement and uncertainty and like sicko spice that the show needed. Because for a while it was like Danielson and Mox was announced, which obviously is a banger, like hands down a banger. And then Chris Jericho, Mark Briscoe, and then the Jack Perry Shibata match, which is a good match, but not the caliber of Jay White Hangman, in my opinion, in terms of like sicko energy.
I have a feeling that Jack Perry versus Shibata is going to be sicko behavior. I think that there's something that is nasty about Jack Perry. You know, we're all jacking it together, you know, but I think that having an opponent like Shibata, who literally put his whole life on the line, had half of his brain removed.
Yeah.
And they have to bring out some sort of sicko energy.
I think Jack Perry is going to beat the shit out of him. And like, he's going to get booed and people are going to be like uncomfortable and disgusted. And Jack Perry is just going to revel in it. Like, I think that's going to be the energy of the match and I'm here for it.
All I'm asking is no fake injury spots, please, for the love of God.
Unless it's Jack Perry. Jack Perry, like Jack Perry faking an injury to make Shibata feel bad for him and then get one over on Shibata, I'd be into that.
Oh, like that. That would be funny.
Yeah, because Shibata is very much in the role of like the teacher who's looking after, you know, the young people under his tutelage, which is not Jack Perry, but I feel like he would have concern for Jack Perry.
Tutelage.
He got seriously injured. But back to Jay White, the Jay White return. Okay. What did you enjoy more? Like, what were you most excited for? The Jay White return or the Shelton Benjamin debut?
Oh my God. We knew this was coming, and we know that Robert Lashley is coming, right?
Yes.
Mr. Lashlino. But, like, the casual pan up to Shelton Benjamin in a fucking suit. End my life, please. End my life. Did you ever think that this would happen? I never thought that Shelton Benjamin would leave WWE, let alone be here for that. And I'm so not mad about it. I just want to know, what matches are we building here? How much can you go? Because we know he can go. It's just a matter of how hard he wants.
And like go. The when, where, whys, and hows of it all. You guys in the chat, let me know. Shelton debut or Jay White return? I need to know what you guys are most excited for. But for my thoughts on the Shelton Benjamin debut, I thought it was, we anticipated it. Mm-hmm. We expected it, all those sort of things. But I was still so excited. Like, I still popped so hard, I screamed. And I was so, because I think Shelton Benjamin, people, when they think of him, they think, and you know, stupidly, in my opinion, he's old, he's washed, he's a WWE reject, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think people don't realize how elite of an athlete Shelton Benjamin always has been.
Absolutely.
And in terms of wrestling, like, not even just the physical in-ring stuff that he does, which is obviously great. Like, he tells really good stories. So, for me, the first match I want Shelton Benjamin versus Anthony Bowens. And I want Shelton to push Anthony to his limit because I still want Anthony Bowens single run. And we're not getting it. I don't understand why we're not getting it. And I'm so mad about it. But I think Shelton Benjamin, if you put Shelton Benjamin on TV on Wednesday or Tuesday, because it's Title Tuesday, if you put him on TV on Tuesday and you have him say, Anthony Bowens, you're a bum. You need to challenge yourself. You're telling me you don't think fans would pop for that, Tony Khan? People would love it. It'd be everywhere. And then you could have sad Max Caster in the crowd realizing he's been passed by or something. It would be so good. Anthony Bowens and Shelton Benjamin would have a classic match that, like, the vibes of that would not be anywhere else on this card. Like, the style, the story, all that kind of stuff. And so, Tony, you need to do it. And we're waiting for Robert Lashley. I don't know when Robert Lashley is coming. Like, is he going to debut at WrestleDream? Is he going to debut, you know, for Full Gear? Who knows? But right now, we have Shelton Benjamin. And Shelton Benjamin needs to be wrestling. We cannot wait for Robert Lashley. And we also just can't wait for the MVP Swerve story to wrap up, where Shelton is just a side piece to that. I need Shelton Benjamin in the ring as soon as possible. Tony Khan, if you're listening, you can have that one for free. But the story with MVP is so exciting because he also gave a business card to Mercedes, who's the CEO, who is in a feud with Chris Statt, who is born again Chris Statt, who has seen the error of her ways, ditched Stokely, found her roots again, which I'm hoping leads to a best friends reunion. Just me personally, privately, I'm hoping. But I'm so excited for Chris Statt to be chasing a title. I'm so excited for MVP to be marketing and collecting people and being like an active part of AWTV. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited for Shelton Benjamin.
I mean, you don't have to tell me twice. I just think of like what big guys that I have never seen him wrestle. And you know who I never saw him wrestle in WWE was Claudio.
That's a good one.
I don't think I ever saw that. And if somebody is in the chat, maybe there was a tag team bout. I don't know, but I would love to see that. Seeing some of the younger guys come up that are wanting that singles push. Maybe they'll do an Action Andrade, but I don't see him winning, and I think that that's not what they're trying to do. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Stoked for that. But I want to know your opinion.
Okay.
About the Britt Baker match.
I was not impressed. And like people, I tweeted something about it. I tweeted about it being not great. And people thought that I was saying she was bad. And I don't think the match was bad. I think the match was not great. And I think in an era of AW, where the women's division has Mariah May, has Willow, has Chris Statt, has Sheeta, like has all these people, you kind of have to be great to be a contender for fans' attention and for support and all that kind of stuff. The same way the men's division is. Yeah. And I think for a long time, Britt was at the top of the women's division, not the number one, but she was up there because the women's division wasn't as stacked and they didn't have the talent that they have now.
Right.
And I think when it comes to it now, all of the like issues that Britt has, they appear so much more damaging because we know if that was Deeb versus Sheeta or Deeb versus Anna Jay or Deeb versus Monet, like it wouldn't have been like that. It would have been great. And like when you're the only women's match on the card, you gotta be great. And that was all I was trying to say. The only point I was trying to make about it on Twitter. And I know that it was very divisive. Some people thought
it was. Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like that was your most divisive, like, talked about tweet on Wednesday.
Yeah, which is crazy because the last few days, I've said some controversial things. I have lost my filter on Twitter. I need to get it back. But some people thought it was really good and good for you. Enjoy it. I don't understand why on Title Tuesday, Willow Nightingale has to beat Britt Baker to get the title shot when we've been building Willow and Mariah this whole time. I don't know why Britt Baker is all of a sudden now a title contender when Willow has been like doing so much more to get there, if that makes sense. Like, I don't understand.
Sure.
Like, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I was just about to say, sorry. You can see my little chihuahua over there.
When did it join the party? I get it.
I think there is, like, you know, I don't want to say, oh, there's both sides, because Britt was the first woman signed by AEW. So, of course, she's going to be on the 5th year anniversary. I think where Britt Baker thrives is someone who can not necessarily carry her, but can hold their own, right?
Yeah.
I think that's an issue with, like, Serena Deeb, is that Serena Deeb really needs to, I don't know, I can't think of any, like, oh, wow, this was a great Serena Deeb match. Whereas, like, I can think of a bunch of really great Britt Baker matches the first 2 years of AEW. Mm-hmm. And you're right, the caliber of women's wrestlers in AEW is so, so much higher mm-hmm. than it was when AEW first started. I think Britt really thrives on wrestlers who wrestle specific style. I think her matches with Sheeta, excellent. Mm-hmm. I think her matches with Toni Storm, excellent. I think we haven't really seen her have a match with Jamie Hayter yet, but I assume it'll be great. But her versus Thunder Rosa was also, like, pretty iconic, even though there was that, you know, sandbagging possibility. I don't know, it's kind of weird, allegedly, but we found out it was because she was having, like, such bad back issues. Mm-hmm. But I think that Britt has had some really great matches that it's hard to get back to that caliber when you're out for so long.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that, you know, maybe she shouldn't have come back yet. I think that the injury that she had was so devastating, right? It was like having basically like a mini stroke is insane.
Yeah.
At such a young age, especially the fact that she's also a dentist. So I think she needs more repetitions. So mm-hmm. having her in this Title Tuesday contention with Willow seems off. But who would you put in that spot instead?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think Willow should be having to compete for a title shot. I think it should be a given and the match should already be announced for Wrestle Dream. But I do think that Jamie Hayter's return. So Jamie returns at All In. She gets in this feud with Saraya, which is marketed and, like, portrayed as a lower card thing. Like, it's segments on Rampage and it's segments on some on Collision, some on Dynamite, but mostly Rampage. So, like, I feel like Title Tuesday, it should be Jamie and Chris Statt for the TBS title shot. I feel like that is a match, like, people really want to see, and I think it makes a little bit more sense than Britt versus Willow, when Willow is already confronting Mariah May, already been in line for, like, weeks for the title shot. So I anticipate Willow will win. I don't really know why the match is happening at the end of the day, but I think they want Britt to get more reps in the ring since coming back, because she had the match with Mercedes mm-hmm. and then was out for a while. And then ever since then, it's been, like, kind of wonky in a lot of ways. Like, she hasn't found her footing. That's what I'm looking for. She hasn't found her footing. And I don't know if that footing is this match with Willow as much as it should be a story that she can carry the promos for a little bit and then train in the ring, get back into the rhythm of things, and then have the match. I don't know. But I do think that the match should just not be happening. I think Willow should just be, like, a given, but women are on the card, gift horse in the mouth, all those sort of things. I do think that the women's division, and Mercedes and Mariah are like the two strongest champions we've had at the same time. Like as a duo, I think that they're the two strongest champions. So I'm willing to forgive a lot of things right now with women's booking, because I know at the end of the day, the matches are going to be great because the champions are great. I just wish that like Jamie Hayter was doing more than she is since coming back. And maybe she's not ready to do more. Maybe she's still kind of like working her way back into things, which is fine. But then she needs to be on my TV more.
Yeah.
She comes back. She has like one of the biggest pops in AEW history coming back. And she has a feud with Saraya that was not, not great at all.
But I don't think that that's, well, I just don't think that.
It's not Jamie's fault. No.
That's not Jamie's fault. That's all I'll say. Yeah, I think the caliber of matches that Britt Baker had in the past in 2022, 2021, she wants to find that footing again, and it's going to take time. But I mean, I would have rather seen like a Willow versus, I don't know, Sheeta again, I guess. Like,
yeah.
That match is more exciting to me.
Yeah, I think. And it sucks because it feels like there's limited space for women in ways there shouldn't be, because we're like plugging in wrestlers into this one spot when we could be saying, oh, we can also do Sheeta versus Deeb, for example. We can also do Chris Datt versus Jamie, and we can do Britt and Willow and have that sort of multitude of women's matches and great matchups and all those sort of things. But ultimately, I think Title Tuesday, it's kind of, I don't want to say throwaway show because it's the road to Wrestle Dream, but I think Title Tuesday, you put a lot of matches that are just for title shots, but for funsies. So
do you think that they're giving it an important name to be like, oh, it's Title Tuesday, so you don't forget that it's on Tuesday this week?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because there's also Emmy versus Mercedes, which is title. So Title Tuesday, you get the match. I'm excited to see Emmy. I'm excited to see Mercedes. I hope that by the end of Title Tuesday, we are more sure whether or not Mercedes has joined the Hurt Syndicate. Because if Mercedes joins the Hurt Syndicate, to me, that takes it, like, even higher. Like, I already thought the Hurt Syndicate was, like, top level of AEW factions. And I think Mercedes joining would take it even higher. Because I'm still so high on Mercedes. Like, I think that she is bringing a lot to AEW.
Agreed.
And so, I'm excited. I will take Mercedes. And also, I love Emmy. I think I'll take Emmy in any match. I love her.
Same.
And so I'm excited about that. But also, after Collision, it is now set Young Bucks versus Private Party at Wrestle Dream.
Finally. We freaking get Private motherfucking Party. Oh my God, is that Private Barney?
Oh my God, is that Private Barney?
Do you like their new theme?
I love it.
It's so good.
It is so good. And like the thing for me is Private Party, I think like people have been really wanting them to do more for a long time. Like they did the whole thing with Matt Hardy, which didn't really go anywhere. And I think the beating the Young Bucks is the natural next step for them. I think the Young Bucks do some shenanigans and cheat to win here. I don't think Private Party is going to win the titles here. But because I think that the Private Party story, they can kind of take it to Full Gear or to World's End even and have them win there. Because I think they don't want the Young Bucks, and I could be wrong, they don't want the Young Bucks to lose the tag titles until Kenny Omega is ready to come back and they can get into that story. But then again, I don't know when Kenny Omega is coming back. Oh. But I think Private Party winning at any point in time is a win.
I agree.
I also think having Private Party lose here with shenanigans and cheating and whatever you have to do, I think that they can really use that to sort of rally people behind Private Party for the next match. It kind of reminds me of the Acclaimed versus Swerve in Our Glory, like the natural organic energy that the Acclaimed earned by I think, unjustly losing to Swerve and Our Glory the first time around. And then they
got
their justice. They got their payback. So I think we can kind of do that here with Private Party. The Young Bucks cheat to win. They can cut a promo. Like, we knew Private Party wasn't all that. You won by a fluke in 2019, blah, blah, blah. And then we can get the match going for Full Gear, World's End, or, I mean, probably Full Gear. I would love World's End, though. Selfishly, I think that, like, the New Year's Eve vibes would be so fun with Private Party.
Yeah.
Like, you could do so many vignettes, and you could get social media engagement on the holiday break and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think it's a little too soon, as ironic as that is. It's been 5 years. but I think you could really, like, you could carry that fan momentum hard. Because imagine the Young Bucks cheat to win. They're all smug and annoying, you know, how they are. And Private Party's just, like, sad and depressed in the ring. Like, I'd go to war for them.
Oh.
Like, if you make Mark Quinn cry, I'll kill you.
Oh, wow.
I won't. Okay. I love Mark Quinn. I love all of Private Party, but I mean, that's what I think is going to happen. But even if the Private Party wins at Wrestle Dream, I'm still here for it.
That's fair. I think it's been a long time coming, and I think Private Party has to win. They have to. Come on. Give it to me, bitch. Just give it to me. Sorry, I'm like swearing a lot today.
At Tony Khan. Tony, if you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening. Better listen to your auntie Collins or else.
It's just going to be such a good match. It's going to be so good. Mm-hmm. I am so here for it. I love Private Party. I've always felt like they haven't gotten their due. And mainly because they've been wrapped up in whack stories. just like very poorly booked. They didn't really capitalize on them beating the Young Bucks in 2019. And I feel like that's because Private Party was so new when they weren't really ready.
Yeah.
But then they gave the Guns the tag titles, which they showed on Dynamite as like a historic moment. Shut up. That was not a historic moment. Everybody hated it. Shut up. They should have let us vote for like what we thought were historic moments. That would have been so fun. But no, I had to watch the Guns win the tag title again. That's what they gave to me.
Tell me how you really feel, man.
I remember being so mad when that happened.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the tag champions had been like Kenny and Hangman, SCU, the Young Bucks, and like Jurassic Express.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the Guns. Who, up until that point, like 2 weeks before that, had been carrying Sheeta's rope.
Yeah. Why?
Pandemic wrestling, man. But now I'm all mad all over again.
I know you're mad.
But anyway, I'm excited for Private Party. I'm excited for all of Wrestle Dream, except for Chris Jericho versus Mark Briscoe. But I did want to talk about CM Punk and Drew McIntyre really quick before I forget.
Oh, did you watch the show?
I did not watch the show because, honestly, to be honest, I didn't care. But I did watch CM Punk and McIntyre this morning.
This is one of the best. I am not a CM Punk fan. Y'all know that I am not a CM Punk fan. So to watch this match and praise CM Punk means it was that good. It was match of the year. But also, I'm a sicko.
Yeah.
Who loves blood.
It was, right? And it was a lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood. Like, I was shocked that WWE would allow so much blood. You know what I mean?
Well, I learned this morning. Let me pull it up. PW Insider reported that Drew McIntyre was legitimately busted open by
the toolbox. That wasn't a blade job.
Staples. Oh. So he, like, CM Punk hit him with a metal toolbox if you didn't watch the match. And, like, Drew was bleeding everywhere, which I think added a lot to the match.
Yeah.
Because it's Hell in a Cell. Like, there should be some blood. Let's be honest here. It's like a metal cage. Hello. But I didn't know that he got busted open hard way. And so an unprotected headshot, I'm a little, about it. I'm a little iffy. I do think the blood added a lot to the match, but I think if WWE allowed blading more often than they do, that whole thing, I think, never would have happened. Mm-hmm. But, and of course, I don't know. I don't know if it was an accident. I wasn't there. I don't know if they did it on purpose. I wasn't there. Regardless, it was a good match. I thought, and not even just a good match by WWE standards. I think it was a good match by any standard. I think it was like CM Punk, when it comes to the run he's had since coming back from retirement, when it's a really gritty, you know, down and dirty match like this, mm-hmm. he really excels. It's when you get into anything else that I think CM Punk kind of loses steam a little bit, in my opinion.
I just was worried that he was going to injure himself, because that's all we've kind of seen. And, you know, like, he just is in these big spots and then injures himself because he's old. He's an old person and he's been away from wrestling for a while. So I'm just glad that, you know, if anything, it's what, like, stitches and some time away.
Yeah.
Where we'll probably see Drew McIntyre, you know, will return at the Rumble. That's fine. I'm excited for, you know, Punk to move on to a different feud. I think this has been a great feud boiling since January. However, we do have the Bloodline on year four of their.
And Bloodline versus Cody. And now The Rock is back as well. And then also Kevin Owens attacks Cody at like the buses. And it's not on the show. It's just they depend on fans to film it and distribute it for them.
Yeah.
And so there's so much in WWE that does not interest me at all.
Tell me how you really feel.
How I really feel. We'll be here for hours. Look, I have been biting my tongue so much this morning about preparation about WWE. I have been like, white knuckling, trying so hard, because I am trying so hard to be good on Twitter and not be a hater. I'm trying Listen, so hard, guys. You don't understand.
Just lean into it right now.
Why are they doing 5 match cards when 3 of the matches are poop? Why is your main event worse than your first match?
Why that first match, everything kind of, for me personally, as someone who watched it and watches the WWE product, it went down like this for me. Other people praise the entire card,
and
but
why do you have a multiple hour show with 5 matches? Fill the time.
They gotta put in their ads, man.
Where's Sami Zayn?
And well, they did have a segment, right? They did have a segment where Gunther came out and he was saying mean things about Goldberg, and Goldberg jumped the barricade. And it was about his son, which is weird. I think time is also weird, seeing like how young Goldberg's son was. And I still think in my brain that he's not old. And like, duh, he's an adult man now.
He's like grown.
Yeah, he's grown. But he called him out, and then Goldberg, you know, jumped the barricade, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden you see Sami Zayn come out and beat the piss out of Gunther, who was not expecting it. So it's like, okay, what are we doing with this? Why do you not have your main champion on your Bad Blood paper? Why? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And I also don't get Triple H being like, I have an announcement. And then it's your 2 world champions are going to wrestle in Saudi Arabia. And then they win a special belt that they can only then presumably defend again against the other world champion.
Mm-hmm.
So like, now you're world champions. Now you have world champions, and then there's a special belt that proves that they are the best world champion of all the world champions, but they can only defend it in a certain place at a certain time and against a certain person. Why? Do a tournament. And then you can have it defended where you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm biting my tongue. I'm biting my tongue. I do not like Triple H. I'm biting my tongue. I will keep it inside. This is a positive, wholesome show. I hate it. But what I don't hate is Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley.
Oh my God.
So I just need to recap really quick to get my spirits up. So on Dynamite, basically Danielson wrestled Okada, which was God tier. I love that match. But at the end, it was God tier.
Yeah.
At the end,
oh no. Am I frozen? Am I frozen? Is Kylie frozen? I think Kylie's frozen. Kylie? Oh no. It was so good. Exactly. It was so good that I know that Kylie is preparing for this. I got a text. I'm lagging because of the storm. everybody, put your thoughts in the chat, what you think that she was actually going off about. Are you back?
Am I back? Are we back?
You're delayed. You're frozen. You're frozen. Wait, are you back?
Storming.
All right, let's wrap it up so you're not whisked away in the tornado.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
So Wheeler Yuta has a hammer.
Oh, Wheeler.
John Moxley is like, "What are you going to do with that?" And then he's actually a little bit scared of Wheeler.
What are you going to do? Hammer. Stab me? And then he stabs him, right?
Yeah. And then there's this interesting thing where like Wheeler Yuta is like going to attack Claudio, but Claudio like refuses to hit him. Yeah. Like he kind of grabs him and is just like shoving him around, refusing to hurt him.
Right.
And then on Collision, there's Wheeler Yuta and Alicia too. Wheeler Yuta is going to give a promo or an interview. And then Claudio comes and is like, "What has Danielson done for you? I've done everything for you. Look at your trios belt." And which is like, well, that's a little interesting that Claudio's like, the Claudio Yuta relationship now is taking the forefront of the story. So we have Danielson versus Moxley at WrestleDream, which is already going to be a great match. Hello.
Absolutely.
But the Wheeler Yuta Claudio undertones is going to be really interesting. Cause like, does Claudio turn on Danielson? Or no, does Wheeler turn on Danielson? Does Claudio turn on Moxley? Do they turn on each other? Like, does Claudio finally beat up Wheeler Yuta? Does he feel bad about it?
Yeah.
Does Wheeler Yuta beat up Moxley with the hammer? Does he feel bad about it? Like, the whole dynamics of it is so interesting to me. And I'm so excited about this faction and everything around it. That's what I wanted to say before I froze because of the weather. what are we doing?
I don't know.
But Ace in the chat said, "Have you ever seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?" And I just want to say yes, really quick, because I love that movie. Okay, your thoughts on BCC?
I feel like I've heard so many different iterations of what's going to happen, right? Is Moxley going to win over Danielson? Is Moxley going to lose? And then we're going to see the BCC just straight up murder, right? Are we going to see the trios titles dispersed before we see all of that? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here, but I feel like I think I said this last time was Wheeler Yuta, that match against Anthony Henry is going to be just in my brain for forever because right after Danielson, you know, had everything happen and we're seeing the imagery of Yuta's face. No, no, no. That's his mentor. He's been using his moves. You can definitely see how Wheeler Yuta has changed his style to be more like Danielson, to be more edgy. But that match, something snapped in him and he went off. There's an intensity in Wheeler Yuta that I haven't seen ever with him. Yeah. And I think that we need to see that. I think something else needs to happen. And Wheeler Yuta goes off and we get build to Yuta taking down everybody in BCC eventually.
I want him to beat up Moxley with a hammer.
I mean, a hammer, a plastic bag, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Come on.
I don't know if Moxley's beating Danielson at WrestleDream. Like, I'm still working through it in my brain.
Same.
But I think Moxley being the final boss in Wheeler Yuta's, this chapter of Wheeler Yuta's journey, and like, yeah, learning who he is without a million people surrounding him, from Best Friends, Black Bull Combat Club, to Danielson, all that stuff. Wheeler Yuta finally beating John Moxley is going to be an all-timer moment.
Yeah.
In AEW history. And I don't know how we get there, but I'm excited to see how we do.
I'm excited to be on the ride, right?
Yeah. Like
that's.
I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Period.
Period. End of discussion.
I'd like to see Yuta more like come out of the end of this, even if Danielson, you know, goes away. I want Yuta to come out of this being the star.
Exactly. I also love Claudio and Pac getting more TV time as themselves and not as like muscle for someone else, especially Claudio. I love Claudio. He's one of my top five favorite wrestlers. Love him. And Danielson, like, this title run has been really, really excellent. Also, Okada, like, coming out of a shell and being Okada, and not, like, the elite, I'm going to coast my BFFs or
bitch.
Even Okada.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. And that's the Okada, elite Okada is just.
Yes.
It's good, though.
It's so good. It's so funny. But I'm excited for Omega Okada. And then when that happens, we're going to see like peak Okada.
Bitch. Okay.
Yes. I'm just sitting here waiting. And I'm like, Kenny Omega. He's doing all the things. Where is he? But guys, make sure you get your super chats in with your final thoughts and things before we wrap up the show, before I presumably crash because the storm.
Yeah. Can you be okay?
And this isn't even the hurricane yet. This is like the random tropical wave or whatever.
Tropical wave?
Yeah, it's like so.
Are y'all in Florida fine?
No. October is also the worst part of hurricane season for the area that I live, because the pressure of the cold fronts that are happening everywhere else in the world pushes storms to me instead of up into the panhandle.
Things I don't know. Living in the Pacific Northwest. And I mean, I sent you our weather that we've had. It's very hoa, hoa, hoa over here. If you know, if you don't, you don't.
We have rain until next weekend.
Is that like hot rain or is that like cool rain? Yeah.
So our highs for the next, like, so often are like 80 to 85 and our lows are in the 70s. Until next weekend, our lows get in the 60s, but our highs stay in the 80s.
Wild.
Yeah. We're also under flood watch, not because of the hurricane, because of the tropical wave and the rain. So Florida living. Yeah, Ace, nature does hate Florida. That's just how it goes.
Wild.
Wild. Do you want to do your closing thoughts and your plugs?
Closing thoughts is I'm excited to go to WrestleDream. I know that I was supposed to do media, and then I was notified by my boss that they are changing how the media scrums are going to be. So it makes me hopeful that we're not going to have stupid ass questions anymore. I'm just saying. So I'm excited for WrestleDream on Saturday. If you're going and you see me, please say hi. We're going to try and get there as early as possible because I'm not getting a hotel this time. Okay. We're not staying in the area. And this is farther away. We got a babysitter for the dogs. So I don't have to worry about rushing back home, all the things. So if you see me, come say hi. If I don't remember you, or if you're say your name and you go, oh, I, why do I not remember? Tell me your screen name. Tell me who you are. Come say hi. And just enjoy wrestling. Enjoy wrestling however you want. On Thursdays, you can come watch me over at our local establishment. We're going to be talking about Ring of Honor, the weekly episodes, with how much they upset us. I do that with Kimmy Sokol, if you know Kimmy Sokol. You can follow me on all my social medias. You can see _queerauntie. I am going live on Twitch, not this weekend, maybe next weekend. I'm busy. I got company in town right now. And I'm going to probably go watch some Twilight later. But I'm here every Sunday. I'm also starting up another podcast, of like a review podcast. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go back and rewatch the Mae Young Classic while it's still on Peacock. So if you want to join in all the fun, I'll let you know. You got to keep an eye at my socials. So.
Period. My final thought is that I miss Kenny Omega. You can follow me on Twitter at Kelly Wrestling. Well, look, I need Kenny Omega. If he's going to give us a sign of life this week, yeah. I need him to do it by Tuesday. Because I'm getting a hurricane Wednesday. And so, okay. What if I lose internet access and Kenny Omega decides to put up, like, a ton of content and I miss it all?
Yeah.
I'm going to be very sad. So, by Tuesday, Kenny, if you're listening. You follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. I post all my thoughts on wrestling there. Good, bad, ugly, and unkind sometimes. But you know what? Sometimes we all do it. So follow me on Twitter at Kylie Wrestling. This is Wrestling Made Me Cry. We're in our like spooky era. So for October, we're going to be doing costumes and like fun vibes, good time. So make sure you guys tune in for all of those. I have some fun things planned. Costume. I have to break stuff out. Like I broke out all my wrestling costumes and I got to like figure out what I got to do. But make sure you guys tune in because you want to see all the costumes that we have. What was I going to say? Oh, this is Wrestling Made Me Cry. We're live every Sunday at noon on Fightful Overbooked. We talk about like the fun stuff in wrestling, the stuff that made us cry, the wholesome good time stuff, which this week it was a lot of me talking about Kenny Omega. But you know what? That's how it happens sometimes, okay? So live every Sunday at noon. This episode was shorter than normal because I have to go
prepare. Well, we don't want you to die.
I have to go prepare, unfortunately. So this episode is a little bit shorter than our usual episodes, but if you go watch our old episodes, you'll see what happens when we have a good time. This is also Fightful Overbooked. There's a lot of great content on Fightful Overbooked about wrestling, about other things. So go check out all of that. Go to like the playlist tabs. Go have a good time. Go to the videos tab. You guys know how to use YouTube. Go check it out. All that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us today on our first little spooky episode. I had a good time. This wig is very annoying, but I do it for the people. I do it for the people. And you know what?
I couldn't do it.
I'll break this out again next year for Halloween. The only time I'll wear this blonde wig, which is so long.
You know, you can just soak it in fabric softener.
But the thing about it is it's so heavy I feel like but then I can't be Brood Christian because he had super long hair. So I can't cut it.
Yeah, don't cut it.
But maybe I'll be a different version of Christian.
You need the turtleneck.
I thought about doing the turtleneck because I have a couple turtlenecks that would have worked. But I was like, oh, I'm going to be so hot and sweaty. And then I didn't think about how hot the wig is, hot and heavy this wig is. So I could have just been turtleneck Christian this whole time.
You could have.
It's okay.
Sorry.
My costume for next week is cute. All that being said, thank you guys so much for joining us. Hopefully see you next Sunday. Fingers crossed my internet and my Wi-Fi work. Fingers crossed. And fingers crossed for WrestleDream. Fingers crossed. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Bye.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.